Thank you, Steve.
Bertrand, are you a bracket guy? I'm not going to do a whole big, gigantic bracket breakdown here, but will you be doing one?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you pretty good at it?
Absolutely not. No, I'm not. I won the first one I was ever in high school with a bunch of dads. I won it, and it's been downhill from there.
Mark Carman's in our studio, too. I like Marquette. I presume that's the team that you're rooting for, right?
Yeah, I was shocked that they made it. I didn't think they were going to make it in.
I don't think they're great, but I think they're good enough. I'm a Big East guy, and I think Marquette should be in the dance.
You're only a Big East guy because of Butler.
Yeah, they're going to win it all this year.
You got a little Wojo up there at Marquette there, Steve
How
Bertrand.
How about that Wojo and Duke in round two?
That's right, buddy.
If they beat South Carolina.
I got Butler winning two games and then losing probably to UCLA.
We weren't talking about Butler. We were talking about Wojo and Marquette.
There are other teams. And then you got yourself this whole Northwestern thing.
John, you look great in your Butler Bulldogs sweatshirt.
I am wearing a Butler Bulldog sweatshirt today. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Did I say congratulations first that you're back at WGN on a full-timer here? Congratulations,
That's
King John.
Nice of you to say. I used to visit with you and Harry Tynowitz on my Saturday afternoon show. After I was done, you guys would come on, and we would share a minute or two of crosstalk each day.
Yeah, I sent you a text saying, like, hey, man, you can't be leaving Saturdays. That was, like, my favorite part of the show.
It was kind of mine, too. It was the end of mine and the beginning of yours, and it was kind of fun to visit with you guys. In fact, I was listening to the two of you this weekend, so I'm driving down from Minneapolis, getting ready to move in here and get going on this show, and you guys were just cracking me up about a variety of things.
God bless you. Thank you for saying that. It's always fun. I love doing the show. I love doing it. Harry and I have a lot of fun. He's a gentleman and a scholar.
Well, you guys did. Bertrand, they did a whole segment on favorite Jay Cutler memories.
You opened the show with that?
Which I think is inspired.
Right. Is that wrong?
No, it's not. But I thought that you were going to get calls. So guys were calling in going, fourth quarter, remember the Detroit game when he threw the interception or stuff like that. I thought it was going to be more like I was at the mall with my kids. We said, hey, kids, there's the quarterback. I thought they were going to be those kind of Jay Cutler stories.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Because I have some of those.
Do you really?
Well, friend of a friend. But I mean, okay. And they're not nice stories.
I ran into him in the Whole Foods one time.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, this will be good. Tell that story, Steve.
No, he just didn't. I mean, I didn't.
Did you come up to him and go, oh, my God, you're Jay Cutler?
No, it was pretty clear he knew. No, actually, in his defense, it was pretty clear he didn't really want to be talk to.
Well,
you know, I had the sort of hunched shoulders and the hood on and stuff, so
I always give those kind of people that space, right. You know, famous celebrity types.
I followed him for three aisles and then I thought, that's enough.
I like to stalk professional athletes, entertainers, the whole thing.
I don't know what he does with all that aspartame, but
I think I actually creeped out Charlie Hall yesterday at Northwestern, who's a walk-on on the basketball team, whose mom is Julie Louis Dreyfus. Everybody knows the story by now. But I'm like, so can I meet your mom? Do you know Jerry Seinfeld? What about Kramer? Who can I talk to? What about George?
You guys, Jeff Kramer, sell.
You guys were so. I listened to so much of that yesterday afternoon. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
To all of the stuff going on at Northwestern.
Steve, how long have you been at WGN Radio?
Forever.
Did you ever think that Northwestern basketball could ever be talked about for 4 hours in one show? I mean,
in a compelling way, mind you.
It was great. It was so much fun to be out there. And you know, to their student athletes, these guys are super interesting coming up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so when they were doing the camera shower, they say, now we cut to Northwestern, they all go, yay! Two of them had textbooks in their laps. I'm not making that up. They were studying while they were getting ready for the thing. At least that's the version I heard.
Did you guys
see that's not true, don't tell me otherwise.
I don't mean to change it here, but did you see the Princeton team behind their coach? Right before the announcement show?
No.
They're interviewing the coach, you know, and I'll hear this. He's a former player. I don't remember his name. But, oh, here's a great fit, great leader. And you got these Princeton men, these super educated.
Yeah.
And they're, like, leaning back and hamming for the camera. And they look like a bunch of 18-year-old kids. It was hilarious.
Well, I thought that the moment when they went to the Notre Dame team was interesting.
I didn't see it. I was very much immersed.
Well, because everybody loses their minds, even like Villanova. They're a one seed, and they all go, yay! They cut to Notre Dame, and they go, and such, Notre Dame.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. They were too cool for school. And I'd like to think that was a technical thing and not an attitude thing. Maybe they didn't know. But they weren't really celebrating the moment.
Well, Nigel Hayes was doing the same thing with Wisconsin. 8 seed.
Well, you could have won your tournament.
Yeah,
he's a funny guy, though.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh my. Oh yeah, he's hilarious.
Well, so just give me a couple of things that would be fun to watch for then, Mark. Like this tournament, obviously, Northwestern's a Cinderella story. I'll just mention this. Minnesota wasn't in the NIT last year, and this year they could win a game or two.
Well, it was shocking that Minnesota was a 5 seed. I thought that was pretty generous.
That's very generous.
For your Golden Gopher. I love the Michigan team, and I don't like Michigan at all.
Yeah.
And
it's a good story.
Derek Walton, yeah, right, the plane and the uniforms and all of it, near tragedy, then winning the Big Ten tournament, wearing your practice jerseys in the first couple of games. I love their point guard, Derek Walton Jr. When they lost to Illinois, they were called out for being soft, a white-collar team, and this kid's from inner-city Detroit. He's like, okay, we're having a team meeting right now. That ain't going to fly.
Oh, really?
So I do like Michigan. And the Cats, you know, it's just they have a great opportunity with Vanderbilt. That's a coin flip game. And then you get to play a one seed in Gonzaga, which if that's the best one seed to play, would think.
Maybe ever. I think that is the fattest – that is the easiest one seed you'll ever face.
So we'll see. And Bryce Drew, head coach at Vanderbilt in his first year, him and Chris know each other. They were texting each other during the game. Very similar stories there.
Do you think this is helpful? So I have some factoids about brackets.
Yeah.
Over the last 5 years, 11 and 12 seeds have won more games than 9 and 10 seeds in the opening round.
Oh, you're legit looking for strategy right now. I get it.
So make your brackets out, but then go back, and I think you should just score it against some of these things. Go, oh, no, wait, I have my 9 and 10s winning more than my 11 and 12s. That's logical, but I'm telling you, over the last 5 years, 11 and 12s win more opening round games than the 9 and 10s.
Okay.
So just hopefully that helps you. And let me just throw one more at you.
But wait, but the 10s are playing 7s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's your point?
Well, they're not favored to win those games either.
Yeah, but the 11 and 12s aren't necessarily favored to win their games
either. No, right. 5-12, right.
It also, it does depend on the matchup. You can't just say that.
Well, but it's over 5 years. Okay, how about this?
Yeah. Go ahead.
In the last 5 years, the 5-12 game and that 6-11 game are 50-50 picks.
Right.
5-12, the 6 and 10 seeds have all won exactly 10 first-round games in the last 5 years. So, again, look at your brackets. Yeah, you've got to have at least 1-6 winning.
You want me to give you an 11
seed? Pardon me, 1-11 winning. Yeah, go ahead.
Rhode Island, coached by Danny Hurley of the Hurleys. They shoot it well. Yeah. They score the basketball. It's not just a three-point shooting team. They rebound it well, and they turn you over. So they're taking on Creighton. Very winnable game. I think that's a coin flip. And then they've got the Oregon and Iona.
Boy.
So I don't mind. If you want to take a flyer on Rhode Island, that's
really? Because I think Creighton's good. I think Creighton can play.
Okay. That's the beauty of the tournament. Go. You don't like my Rhode Island pick, huh? I thought you were going to like that one.
Well, I'd like to like it, but I don't like Creighton.
Marquette, South Carolina.
South Carolina hasn't won a tournament game since 1973. Not that that matters to this team. I really like Frank Martin a lot, but I'm going to go with your Marquette. What are they? The Golden Eagles now?
It's been 20 years, Frank. Get used to it.
Move on.
I still can't get over it.
They're playing the Fighting Illini. Are you happy?
Right. I had to get rid of the Warriors. I mean, come on.
How about this? If you don't have many number one seeds in your Final Four, that's okay because as often as not, number ones don't make it to the Final Four. But of the last 28 number one seeds, only 8 have played in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't have too many number ones in there. And never has a team higher than 8 won at all. So don't have a 9 or a 12 or somebody winning it because that just never happens.
Right. You can, you know, if you're looking for a Cinderella to take the whole thing, pick a 4 seed, pick a 5 seed if you're really going to go that bold.
How about this one? Coaches with one syllable first names win 79% more games than multisyllabic name coaches, and no one named Mortimer has ever advanced beyond the Sweet 16.
I knew there was a reason I was invited in today, and it was to learn that.
Only twice has a coach married to someone named Poopsie won a tournament game.
Really?
So I don't know if you want to go that deep into the weeds, but that's just something for you.
Poopsie, huh?
And this is just one other thing that I've noticed. When you are kind of talking at the water cooler with your friends, if you say he's done a really great job with that program, you can justify anything that follows that or precedes that. Just like if you said, I think the St. Anthony 7th grade girls are going to beat Villanova. And they go, really? What, are you crazy? I go, no, I think she's Sister Margaret has really done a good job with that program. And they go, oh, she's really done a good job. If you know to drop that, really done a good job with the program, it sounds like you know stuff.
See, I must have blown it with Rhode Island. All I had to say was they've done a great job with that program.
And I would have gone, well, then they're going to beat Creighton.
Right, right. You, but the way I did, you're like, no, Creighton's crushing Rhode Island.
Try it again. Go ahead and give it to me.
You know, Danny Hurley's just done an amazing job with the Rhode Island program. I really like Rhode Island.
Well, then I'm taking Creighton right off of my bracket. I'm not even putting him in the tournament. See how that works. Yeah.
Final four, Rhode Island, even though that doesn't work in your original point that no team below an eight has ever made it.
I want to ask you about Illinois State and Tim Tebow, not in that order, and not for the same reason, in a minute on WGN. All right, let's finish this bad boy up. This is John Williams. 252 on WGN. You can hear me now weekdays from 1 to 3 and Saturdays 10 to noon on WGN Radio. Mark Carmen's in the studio just kind of helping us with our brackets a little bit, but just kind of catching up with an old friend for that matter. Illinois State is not in the tournament.
It's really disappointing for Dan Muller and company, who won 27 games, whose RPI was 33, who went 17-1 in the conference, and his tweet to, hey, anybody in the Big Ten, anybody in the ACC, anybody want to play me on a home-and-home, you can play a team with an RPI of 33. I mean, he's basically saying that nobody will play the Redbirds, and that's why they were in the position of not having any great wins.
RPI 33 isn't good enough to get you in the tournament?
There's only 10 schools in the history of the tournament with that level of RPI that haven't made it. So it's one of the all-time great snubs, and they're the number one seed in the NIT.
It just pays no respect to Illinois State or that conference that they play in.
Right.
Because there was a day when Illinois State and Bradley was such a big game, and I miss those days. I miss the days when Illinois State was really a basketball team that mattered. But this would have put them on the map. Now just going to win the NIT, right?
I guess. I mean, the last time they were in the tournament, 1998, Muller was a player there, and now he's coaching. That's a hard one to stomach. I mean, if you're a senior, right, and you put all that effort in, you don't get to go, if you've gone 27-6.
Well, you know who was on their team when they were really good? Matt Taphorn.
Is that right?
Matt Taphorn was a stud for Illinois State, and Hersey Hawkins was a stud, and those guys for Bradley. I don't remember if they played against each other. I think they may have. I'm pretty sure they did.
Okay.
It was that era. I mean, that was a long time ago, but it was really fun. So I love watching the Taphorn connection come all the way around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Dave making the pass against Michigan, the whole thing. Hersey was great back in the day, man. That was a lot of fun for Bradley back then.
Somebody said Tim Tebow is still playing baseball.
It's the number one story right now on ESPN. That's kind of interesting that Tim Tebow got his first spring training hit. There he goes. Tebow with a knock, John. Let's see.
Is he playing for the Mets?
He's playing for the Mets. He was hitless in his first 8 at-bats, but then he got an opposite field single on a 2-2 pitch, bottom of the 5th. Then he was doubled.
Did he play? Really?
No, he's a double play grounder, but he was doubled off the other day when he got on. He gets beaned. He's on first, line drive. Tebow, first step towards second. Caught, you're out.
Really?
Thrown behind him.
Yeah. Did he play A-ball or high A-ball? Did he play any kind of baseball last year?
He was in the fall league, and he's going to play some minor league ball this coming year.
Are they
year.
Projecting him to be a minor leaguer of any consequence?
I don't think so, no.
So then why do they have him? Just because it's fun to have Tim Tebow?
Well, the World Baseball Classic's going on right now, so a lot of guys, like the Mets have 15 guys that are playing in it, so it opened up an opportunity for him to get into some spring training games. But to what you're saying, yes, I'm sure there's some publicity stunt to it as well. But you know what? Hey, man.
I'm not mad at him for trying.
Right?
I would try, and I don't care if people want. People say bad things about everybody all the time for everything, so you can't listen to that.
Right. I agree. Hey, man, you want to go play? You're an incredible athlete, 99.9% better than everybody else. Go ahead.
And if you can't play Major League Baseball, Michael Jordan couldn't either. There's no shame in that, right?
Right. Although Mike was on his way. He was hitting like 270 in the fall league, and then they had that whole, like, you know, if he wanted to come back and play, I think he would have made it, John, just a couple more years.
You think Jordan could have played Major League Baseball?
I think he was better.
The way he was trying at that time in his career?
I think he was better than people gave him credit for. That's all I want to get out there.
Do you buy any of the conspiracy theories about why Michael Jordan was playing baseball?
No.
You're not into that at all?
Absolutely not. I think his dad got murdered, and he was in a significant morning, and he was burnt.
And so he didn't want to play basketball and then thought, I'm going to give baseball a try.
Well, you know, his dad always wanted him to play baseball. That was the story. So it was a way for him to connect with his dad. And when he hit his first home run, he pointed to the sky and all that type of stuff. I think it was a way for him to be with his father.
You were talking about the World Baseball Classic, if that's what it's called?
Yeah.
I was watching TV last night or the night before. Ryan Dempster pitching for Canada.
Good for him.
got drilled.
Yeah, well, did you see the video of him and Theo?
No.
So is it spring training? He's getting himself loose for the World Baseball Classic, and Theo is in the cage taking swings off him, and he rips one to right field. It's like, yeah, that's not a great sign.
That's not
for
a good sign.
Yeah, no.
How old is Dempster now?
Demp is, he's got to be, what, 43, I'm guessing.
What is that all about? Is he a legitimate World Baseball Classic pitcher or whatever that thing is?
Probably not, but it's Canada, and they don't have a super deep roster, apparently.
I was happy for him. Again, I thought, I know he didn't do well.
He's 39, right?
And he didn't look great, and he was grooving him and blah, blah, blah. But I thought, what the hell? Give it a shot.
I mean, I'm pro playing things as long as you can play them. 75-year-olds that are out there in some league doing something good for you.
I posted on my Facebook page, Mark, I got to let you go. We're wrapping it up here. Rose right around the corner. But I posted on my Facebook page a bunch of these, how many 12s you should have versus 5s, how many 11s versus 6s. Don't pick anybody past an 8. Just some tips for your brackets. So I know you need, you know, advice from me. But
I'm going right there, John.
There's some statistical help there that may do you some good. It's nice to see you, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Great to see you back, John.
When do people hear you on this fine radio station again?
I will be on. I'm actually going to be filling in for Dave Ennett doing sports this on the mornings this week with the Dave with the Wildcats, and then I'll be on Saturday and Sunday with the Beat. It's regular time. Well, the regular time now is 4 o'clock on Saturdays, 3 o'clock on Sundays.